I'd like you to go to your Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I want to read a few verses, and I want to entitle this message, Repentance and Penance, Knowing the Difference. Repentance and Penance, Knowing the Difference. And it's important to know the difference between repentance and penance. And I believe the devil, Satan himself, is always wanting us to pay penance for the things that we have done. I want to ask this morning, how many here have made mistakes in your past? Can I see your hand? How many have made a lot of mistakes in your past? Can I see your hand? Then you need to hear this message, because it's important, because it's in God's Word. And we need to know. Father, I just pray today that the Holy Spirit will just speak to us. Lord, we have felt your presence in this service. And we just pray that you will just speak to us and minister life to us through your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8. Reading from the New International Version for this series of verses. Even if I've caused you sorrow by my letter, Paul sent a letter to the Corinthians. And it was a letter concerning some situations that were happening in the church. Some refer to this letter as what took place between a man and his father's wife, an immoral relationship. Many commentators think this is the letter that was sent, that Paul addressed this situation. And he said that the unrepentant man must be cast out of the church and handed over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. And he said, you know, you've not really taken this sin very seriously. You've not really dealt with it in a way that's pleasing unto God. So it was a difficult letter to write. And here we see in verse 8, even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, I see that my letter hurt you. How many know that sometimes the truth hurts? I didn't get a very good amen for that. But let me say it again. Sometimes the truth hurts.
Amen.
Have you ever had to tell your son or daughter something that you knew would hurt them, but it was the truth? He said, I see that my letter hurt you. Because sometimes the truth does hurt. But he says here, but only for a little while. Yet now I am happy were made sorry. But because your sorrow led you to repentance. And when we feel bad about what we've done, it's not because we got caught. It's not because of the effects upon us personally, but because we have offended God. David said after his sin with Bathsheba, he said, "What I've done ultimately to God." When we sin, we offend God. Hello? True repentance is a recognition that we have offended God. You know, I think in the church today, we're more concerned about offending people than we are about offending God. But real repentance means that we feel sorrowful because we have hurt the heart of God. But your sorrow led you to repentance, for you became sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way. True godly repentance is healthy. It's true. May not feel like it at the time. But there's a difference between conviction and condemnation. Conviction leads to repentance, which leads to life. Correction from the Holy Spirit is important. So you were not harmed in any way. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. I'm so thankful I repented of that. I'm glad I've left that in the past. I'm happy I'm not doing that anymore. But worldly sorrow brings death, because worldly sorrow centers on self. Godly sorrow centers on the one we've offended ultimately. The repentance called for throughout the Bible is a summons to a personal, absolute, an ultimate, unconditional surrender to God as sovereign. Though it includes sorrow and regret, it is more than that. In repenting, one makes a complete change of direction, a 180-degree turn towards God. I'm going in this direction, heading for destruction. I turn around 180 degrees, and now I'm heading towards God and following His commandments, precepts, and direction for my life. That is true repentance. That's what God is looking for in the church. Penance, on the other hand, is voluntary self-punishment. In other words, it's not God that's asking us to do this. It's something that we're inflicting upon ourselves as an outward expression of repentance for having done wrong. You know, in some religions, there's a lot of penance going on. If you sin, you go to the priest, you confess it to him, and he tells you what to do now. How many Our Fathers and how many Hail Marys? But this thinking can even enter into the evangelical church. This idea of self-punishment for the sins that we have committed in the past. It's falling on your own sword for mistakes that you made in your past. It's allowing the devil's constant accusations against you to drive you to despair and hopelessness. And friends, we have a lot of people like that in the church today. They can't believe that God is a forgiving God. There must be something I have to do because I've sinned. And so they allow the devil to inflict these things upon them willingly. How many know that the devil is the accuser of the brethren? God wants to give us a hope and a future. Can somebody shout amen this morning? He wants to give us a hope and a future.
Amen.
If we've truly repented, then we're forgiven. We have to receive His forgiveness in the name of Jesus. It's the inability to forgive yourself for past blunders or the skeletons that are still in your closet. How many know what I'm talking about? And we fear that one of those skeletons is going to come to life. But how many know that in Christ, that's been dealt with? It's under the blood. Yes. And sometimes we hang on to these things as excuses for not doing what God is calling us to do in this hour of time as we approach the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's the mentality that one must be punished for their sins. And so this is my lot in life. And I've just accepted it. God's up there with the big bat. And He keeps hammering away at me every day for the sins that I've committed in the past. Christians are constantly beating themselves up from poor decisions or things that they've done or committed. Not recognizing the grace of God. The power of the blood of Jesus to wipe the slate clean in the name of Jesus. You can have a new day in Christ this very day through the cleansing power of Now, don't get me wrong.
I wouldn't want you to do that.
There are consequences for sinful behavior. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8 says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." Notice it doesn't say a woman. "A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." That's like someone said, doing the same thing. Can we be careful with going in and out too often? That's like someone saying, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. It's not going to happen, is it? So that's where true repentance comes in. I've got to be willing to make a change. So there are some consequences for sinful behavior. But that doesn't mean we should live in constant guilt, condemnation, and shame with this cloud of fear hanging over our heads. Listen. Yes, there are consequences. But if we've asked God to forgive us, we are forgiven. Hello, someone. We are forgiven. And we have to accept that. We have to embrace that. Do you know there's so many people in the body of Christ who have repented of their sins, but they're living with this self inflicted wounds. Oh, I could never go up and sing. I could never teach. You don't know what I was like. Listen to Micah chapter 7, verse 18. "Who is a God like you?" You see, we see people respond. Listen to me. But that's just the surface. We just see the surface. Someone gets angry. Someone is depressed. Someone is living in despair. And we say, "You don't have to live like that." But you know what? We've got to peel away the onion until we get to the place and the real reason that they're acting that way. And sometimes it's self-inflicted wounds. Things they're doing to themselves to punish themselves for the things they've done. But Jesus already did that on Calvary's cross. He already paid the penalty for our sins. Can somebody shout hallelujah this morning? It's already been done. "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity, passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance?" He does not retain his anger forever. Because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. How many know God is a loving, compassionate God?
Amen.
We, as mature believers, need to be the vessels of His restorative power. Oh, glory to God! Bringing healing to the broken. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You, speaking of God, will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea.
Hallelujah. Think about that for a minute.
He says, I'm going to cast all your sins into the depths of the sea. The depths. The deepest part.
Think about it this morning. You see, there's this insidious part of our old nature that says you've got to pay for that. Again, I'm not talking about the consequences. I'm talking about the feelings of guilt and shame and condemnation. You've got to pay for that. That's why you're living the way you're living. That's why you have no hope and joy and peace, because you're paying for it. See, that's what the devil's saying. He's saying you've got to pay for that. That mistake you made, you can't just get forgiven that easily. You've got to be punished for it. Friends, there's no punishment that we could endure to pay for the sins that we have committed, because the Lamb of God has already done it. Hallelujah. On Calvary's cross, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say this morning. Some of us have secrets that only God knows. Things that we've done that nobody knows but God. And those are the things that the devil really likes to play with. Because he says, if you don't let me punish you, I'm going to expose those things. But friends, we have a defender.
Amen.
We have an advocate with the Father. Hallelujah. The greatest lawyer in all of human history. And his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And he's going to go to your defense. And he's going to fight for you in the courts of heaven. Oh, somebody ought to be shouting hallelujah this morning.
Because I'm going to cast. And I think this message affects all of us. Because we've all done things that we're not proud of.
If anyone was to allow past sins to keep them from doing God's will, it was the Apostle Paul. First Timothy chapter 1. Verse 15. Remember the Apostle Paul? God used him to write most of the New Testament. We consider him a hero. Stephen was stoned, who was standing there affirming what was being done? Paul. Who persecuted Christians? Sometimes putting them in jail and sometimes sending them to their death? The Apostle Paul. Can you imagine him sending a resume to be the pastor of Grace Christian Fellowship? Here's the pastor's counsel looking over the resume. Okay. Killed some people, you know, sent them to their death. Scratch him off. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, not people who think they're righteous. But the people who recognize, have come to that place where they recognize, I'm a sinner. I need the redemptive power of the blood to wash away my sins. Of whom, one translation says, I am chief. Paul is saying, of all the sinners that have ever lived, I'm the worst. Because I persecuted the church. So if God can save him, he can save anyone. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, the chiefest, the worst of sinners, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. If he can save me, he can save you. Doesn't matter how far into the pit you've fallen. Paul says, if his redemptive power can bring me out, his redemptive power can bring you out. Hallelujah. Friends, this is a message we need to shout from the top of every hill and every mountain that surrounds Creston. Hallelujah. We have a God of redemption. Hallelujah. That can bring the worst sinner, if they repent, to a place of salvation. And I thank God every day that he doesn't just forgive unbelievers when they come to Christ, but he forgives Christians when they sin. Are you hearing me? Paul's redemptive story is an example to us of the power of God to redeem and bring forgiveness to the worst of sinners. Friends, the self-inflicting has got to end. The belief that one must be punished for their sins must come to an end. Hallelujah. God still wants to use you. God still has a plan for your life. Hallelujah. And it's not just to wait for the rapture. There's a plan in place right now, hallelujah, that if you'll step to the front and say, Jesus, cleanse me, purify me, wash me, I repent of my sins, God says, I'm going to clean the slate and give you a fresh start in the name of Jesus. I was sharing with someone last week about David Wilkerson. About how he went into the streets of New York City. To the toughest places. And I've been there. I've been to the toughest places in Canada. But he went into the places, the toughest places, and preached to the toughest, hardened people. The people that a lot of society had given up on. And one of them was Nikki Cruz. And when Nikki Cruz got saved, this is what he said. If God can save me, he can save anybody. If God's redemptive power can save me, a hardened gang leader, then he can save anyone. Hallelujah. And I want to preach that. Hallelujah. Not man's way, but God's way through the redemptive power of the blood of Jesus Christ. None of us are perfect. God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for humility. I don't have it all together, but I'm going to submit my life to Jesus Christ and let him put my life back together again. And I was in New York City, and I remember that service so clearly. When Dave Wilkerson gave the altar call, I was sitting in the crowd. And he recognized a homeless man that sat at the door of Times Square Church every day. And through the crowd, he saw him. He reached out and took his hand and said, in the name of Jesus, friends, God wants to redeem the hopeless. Those that have been separated from society based on what we think someone successful should be. God wants to redeem those people. Hallelujah. And he wants to redeem you. And set you on a path of victory. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father,